Chapter 77, Taln 13. As Taln suspected, Jasna was wrong about Maridas's intentions. The nobleman's soldiers didn't try to kill Taln. In fact, they were frustratingly overprotective. Taln stood, ringed by a double line of Aniezer's best troops, fuming at his inability to take part in the battle. Even Maridas and Aniezer themselves weren't so well coddled. It was probably a subtle insult of some kind. That would be like Maridas, keeping Taln from the fighting out of a supposed wish to protect him. Still, there was good reason to place Taln where he was. His honor guard stood at the top of a hill, his banner, gold with a brown Taln glyph, flying to reassure and give strength. He would have placed his troop in the middle of the battlefield, where it would lend even greater morale, but he was more confident in his ability to keep himself alive than any mortal man would have a right to be. Any mortal man. He was a herald. The only things he had were his memories, and they had served him well so far. Denying who he was would present far too great a risk. If he held to his memories, the only thing he risked losing was Jasna. If he abandoned them, he risked the future of mankind. It was good that Jasna understood that. Besides, the solution she had presented was a very good one. He didn't gamble much, not really. A year was not so long to wait. If the Kohan did not invade, then he could revisit his personal searchings. If they did attack, then all of Roshar would have been better because of his determination. It was a very good compromise. Jasna's battle plan worked well, too. Either the Aleth forces had tried before to get a breaking force into the castle, or the Vadens were expecting such a move, for they reacted with remarkable speed once the diversionary force was spotted. The invaders gathered their ranks, moving carefully into intercepting positions without exposing themselves to much bowfire from the walls. Fortunately, their speed and positioning left their towers behind and exposed their forces to an easy ambush. Maridas might not have approved of the plan's origin, but he made use of it with finesse. Within a few tenset minutes of the call to attack, the Vaden forces were surrounded on three sides. The towers fell quickly, captured rather than destroyed. From his vantage, Taln could easily see the workings of the battle. Both armies were only of moderate size. Much of what he saw unsettled him. The Aleth shardbearers were by far the central forces on the battlefield. The Aleth spearmen, trained carefully in their formations, worked at positioning the enemy troops. The shardbearers were the ones who caused the most destruction. With proper support, a single shardbearer could break an enemy formation, leaving 10 sets of corpses before him. The spearmen could then move in, decimating the fallen line. Where resistance was stronger, the shardbearers simply slew more men. The twin edges of ambush and shard blades proved overwhelming. Taln couldn't see faces below, but he could feel the panic and the movement of the Vaden lines. Even without Taln, the Aleth force still had 14 shardbearers, an incredible number. Soon, Vaden dead covered the ground, and Taln felt less displeased about being left behind. His presence was needed in this battle, but his blade certainly was not, and the slaughter did not make for an appealing temptation. This is what his brethren had feared, shardblades turned against men. This was one of the reasons prohibitions against conquering and fighting other men had been placed in both the arguments and the way of kings. The heralds had suffered men to have shardblades because of the weapon's awesome effectiveness against the Kothan. Obviously, blades were even more effective against men. Maridas himself dueled the Vaden commander. The bout was short, and once the man fell, his sub-commanders were within their honor to surrender, which they quickly did. The Vadens had lost nearly half of their force in a matter of a couple of hours. Taln stomached the destruction, as he had so many other times. Time had done odd things to his perceptions of death. He had seen so many people pass, mighty lords and simple farmers, scholars and tyrants. Yet time had not dulled his concern for them. Indeed, their lives were the whole of his purpose. He fought through the eternities to protect them, and loathed seeing their lives spent so easily. "Come," he said to his unwanted honor guard, riding down toward the battlefield. He could already see the gates opening again, the besieged Aleth nobility coming out to greet their saviors. Tal'n shunned their fanfares, turning away as Maridos rode proudly toward a group of well-clothed aristocrats. "My lord," one of his guard captains asked as Tal'n led them away from the gates toward the battlefield itself, "should you not present yourself to those inside the walls?"
"Later,"
Tal'n said, climbing off of his horse as they neared the area that had seen the most fighting. The groans of men were low in the air, as if the sounds themselves were weak and dying. Most of the living wounded bore the mangled wounds of spearheads rammed under or past armor. Of the men hit with shard blades, there were few in one piece, let alone alive. Tired soldiers moved among the carnage, searching out the survivors.
"We did not fight," Tal'n told his men, "so we can use our strength for this effort. Help me find the wounded and tend to their injuries."
Mouths turned down at the prospect of doing such menial, grisly work, but Tal'n's orders left little room for complaint. Reluctantly, the honor guard followed him across the blood-stained rocks, while their fellow officers rode into Kolinar to feast. It was dark before Tal'n finally released his soldiers from their task. Bloodied and weary, the 20 men probably wished they were among the wounded themselves. Tal'n sighed, laying one final soldier down in the healer's tent. Eniazer's force was weak on healers and attendants for the sick, but Lord Dalinar's betrothed had sent men from the city to see to the work. And there was much to be done. It was surprising how tenaciously a man could grip life, how long he could lay among the dead, whispering for help through strength-sapped lips. Tal'n did what he could. He understood the body as only one who had used the Na'el to heal could. He was no surgeon. His understanding was instinctual, rather than specific. However, he had lived a very, very long time, and had acquired many skills over the centuries. He put to use what he had, training his men quickly and helping the healers by moving bodies and bandaging wounds. Tal'n stood wearily. There was still work to be done, but it would have to be someone else's duty. Tal'n had avoided his political responsibilities long enough. If he was going to prepare Alethkar, as Yasna's oath said he could, then he was going to need to keep up at least some proprieties. He left the tent behind, promising to send soldiers to help move the wounded, those who survived the night, inside the walls the next day, before a high storm could drench them. He left the lighted tents behind, the fresh, unbloodied air outside strange to his senses. The great city of Kolinar glowed with triumphant torches on the walls. Tal'n paused for a moment, staring up. The celebrations seemed odd, compared to the suffering he had left behind, but he knew they were necessary. Victory must be encouraged, the men rewarded, for they were still an uncertain and untried force. A quick success now would give them a great deal of motivation. Kolinar. It looked old. Not broken or unkempt, its walls were still as sure as they had been centuries before. Yet there was something to the massive city. It looked as Tal'n felt. Aged, without wrinkles. Tired, without frailty. Some things from the past, at least, lived on. This was Bajardin's city, and here he had learned philosophy and truth from the lips of Jezrian, Ishar, and Balear, the wisest of the heralds. From his discussions with them, especially Jezrian, had come the grand work, the Way of Kings. Yes, some things did endure. There was goodness in men, though oft-times their foolishness overrode it. Tal'n entered the city without fanfare or recognition. Dressed in his common cloak, his clothing stained dark with the blood of the wounded, he might seem like just another wearied soldier who had drawn the unpleasant duty of seeing to the wounded. The streets were busy with people. Some soldiers, the majority civilians. Apparently, Lord Dalinar's call to arms had been very well received, and most of the city's men had gone with him to battle against their king. The revelers gave him wide berth, noting both his mood and his clothing. He made his way to the palace. The way was sure to him, even if much of the cityscape had changed over the centuries. At the palace gates, a pair of guards moved to bar him entrance, but Taln hefted his shard blade off his shoulder and presented it mutely. The soldiers quickly flushed at their mistake, bowing. The palace was well maintained, rich indeed, but not as gaudy as the one at Rhal Arryn. Taln was beginning to suspect that he would indeed like this Dalinar, as Jasnah had implied. The palace hallways were busy with servants bearing the remnants of the evening feast, and Taln's stomach, that shouldn't need food, growled hungrily. He ignored its protests for the moment, following the flow of people toward the main feast hall. The room was oddly quiet. He turned the corner, expecting to see people sitting at their segregated tables, lethargically drinking away the end of the feast. Instead, he found a solemn gathering. The nobility were seated quietly at their tables as they watched something at the front of the room. Meridas stood, wearing what appeared to be a new outfit, before the kneeling Jasnah. Her dress was a deep blue, not as ornate as the one in which she had escaped from the palace, but gossamer and beautiful nonetheless. Her hair was done up in one of her traditional Aleth braids, her face properly made up, her head bowed as she listened to the Voran monk preach. It had been a long time, but the Voran ceremonies had been fairly immutable since the Eighth Epoch. Taln recognized the wedding quite easily. He stood, stunned, simply staring.
"We've reached civilization now," he realized after a moment's stupefaction. "She was engaged to Meridas. Now that a proper ceremony can be performed."
That was why she had approached him earlier. That was why she had been so impatient that he make a choice between herald and man. Taln had thought her solution of waiting a year a simple delay, but it had been more than that. Without a promise from him, she would do what was expected of her. Considering her dedication to Alethkar, it was amazing she would even consider otherwise. Suddenly he realized that he wasn't the only one who had been forced to consider abandoning everything that he was. He wanted to look away, but he could not. Heralds were not supposed to feel like such fools. They were supposed to be immune to such pain in their hearts. They were supposed to be perfect, not prone to foolish sentimentality or love. But he had never made a very good herald. Jasnah reached up and took Meridas's hand, and the room's men cheered while the women nodded to each other approvingly. Jasnah stood. It was over. She was married. And Taln understood that he had allowed something very, very precious to blow away with the wind.